Well, today we are going to continue on in our series on repentance. And I'd like to thank you all for coming out and partaking in this service and these series, as we truly are going through this time of Lent and coming to an understanding of what it means, because Lent is a time of repentance. Lent is a time of preparedness, looking at ourselves and who we are and the direction that we need to move our lives and the things that we need to do to truly walk in wholeness and holiness. And this week's installment, I'm doing 2 weeks because of our weather and not being here with you. I'm literally ganging up and doing two of them here today. And the first one I'm going to speak to you about is called Repentance Preached. Okay? And I think you're going to find it a little different than you anticipated. So if you would, open your scriptures to the book of Mark, and we are going to Mark 1:1. So we're starting in the book of Mark in the very first chapter, in the very first verse, and we're going to move from there. As we think of repentance preached, I like to preface it with this. Repentance preached was something that happened prior to Christ's coming in the Old Testament, while Christ was here in the flesh, after His atonement, and it is even preached yet today. All right? We need to understand how important repentance preached truly is. It starts at the beginning and goes all the way to the end when Christ shall come again. Hear ye these words from the word of the Lord, from Mark in the first chapter, verses 1 through 5. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for Him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Blessed be the word of the Lord. As you understand this, as we come to understand this, this was a baptism of repentance that was being spoken of here. In other words, John preached repentance, to repent from sin, for the Christ was on His way, to prepare our hearts to receive Him. Okay? That is yet and still the first step of repentance. The first step of repentance is a person who recognizes their sin and need of cleansing and purging in order to come unto God. But is that something that we can do? Can we cleanse ourselves by ourselves? No, we cannot. God does that through a work of the Holy Spirit, that as we confess our sins and turn, remember, Brother David taught us, it's a three-step process: head, heart, action. Okay? There is nothing about faith that is idle. Everything about our faith ends in action. It has to end in action or it's not real. Okay? It has to end in action or it's not real. If it is simply head and heart, there's nothing behind it. Oh, you're waving at Alex. I thought he was waving at me. I thought my batteries went dead again or something. Repentance always has been, is, and will continue to be part of God's plan for mankind. It began where? In the garden, when God had the conversation with Adam. God wanted Adam to repent. What did Adam do? He blamed Eve. Where do we get it from, guys? So God goes to Eve. God wants Eve to repent. What did Eve do? Did she say, oh, forgive me, Lord? No, she said, it was that snake. So then God goes to Satan, and he simply curses him because he's a fallen angel and he knows better. So as we look at it, we can see repentance was to start at the very beginning. Okay? It's always been there. And who made the way for Adam and Eve to continue? Who made the very first animal sacrifice? Did Adam make that first sacrifice? No. God did. God killed an animal, spilling its blood, and clothed them with its skin. Now, what does that tell us? Because we are to be clothed in whose righteousness? Christ's righteousness. He is our sacrificial lamb. We put on His righteousness as we come unto Him. What Adam and Eve put on is what the Old Testament has continually taught, that you are putting on the righteousness of an animal that was sacrificed for you, life for life. That's God's word, life for life. Aren't we glad that eternal life has now covered our lives? Eternal life through the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus the Christ. That we never have to sacrifice again, because His blood, His righteousness is eternal and does not end when we sin again, but continues on because He is that eternal being. You and I need to understand that as we begin to understand what righteousness is, what repentance really is, how important is it to get that word out there? Well, John preached it, right? Jesus preached it, right? Peter preached it, and so did Paul. In fact, we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul taught. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts in chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. We're going to begin in the 22nd verse, and then I'm going to read through 31. From the 22nd verse of the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, through verse 31. Thus be the word of the Lord. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For I was walking around and looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man He made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent, for He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising Him from the dead." Blessed be the word of the Lord. God wants that every man everywhere would do what? Repent. Paul was preaching to the very peoples. And if you look at Paul's word, he reached all the way back to the very beginning, starting with Adam, because he says, from one man came all nations. Okay? So he's saying this word that I'm giving you now goes all the way back to our forefathers who created all this. In fact, you know it so well that you made an idol, you made a place of worship for this unknown God, because though you know something was there, you forgot who he was. And you began worshiping false gods. But in the hope that it would all be covered, the Greeks made this one place because we didn't want to, now this is Greek theology, we didn't want to miss a god because we might get him mad. So we're going to make an altar just in case for the one that we don't know. Well, the reality is the one that they didn't know was the one who is all, because everything else they were worshiping was fake. And you and I know that in our lives. And we know that this world continues to receive and worship false idols, false gods. But who's to preach to them? Well, Pastor, we're going to tell him about the church and we're going to get you to preach to him. Wrong chicken. You and I are to preach the Word of God. It's not just something that pastors do. Well, let me change that thought. It is something that priests do. And what does the Word say about you? We are a priesthood of believers. So therefore, you are a priest. You are a preacher in your spheres of influence. And all of you know about your spheres of influence, right? One of these days I'll have to do a seminar on spheres of influence. It starts with your very core, and there's generally only one or two people in there, your spouse and God. You might have another person in there. Very seldom does that happen. And then you move out to your immediate friends, your best friends. There might be four or five of them in there, generally not more than five. And then you go out to your friends, your good friends. There can be as many as 50 or 60 in there, depending on just how charismatic you are. Amen? Those are the people that you are to be preaching to, all the way out to your acquaintances, which is everybody else. How many people is everybody? Quite a few. And Paul says it here. What does he say? He says that God commands that all people everywhere are to repent. How will they know lest they hear? How will they hear lest we are sent? Folks, when it comes to repentance preached, it has been preached since the beginning of time. Started with God the Father. He was the first one to preach repentance. He was the one who came to Adam and Eve. And then all the prophets kept telling the people to what? Repent, 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 turn to God. Repent, 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 turn to God. Repent, 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 turn to God. You're all going to go home here tonight and that's going to be stuck in your head. Repent, 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 and turn to God. Repent, 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 and turn to God. I hope it sticks in you like a broken record, because that's who we are to be, and that's what we are to preach. That's what our lives are to say. Do you understand what I'm getting to you? That when we screw up, and how often does that happen? Oh man, I'm so great, it never happens. Wrong. We need to, at that moment, admit our faults right there in front of the people who are there with us. Because I'll guarantee you, every non-Christian is looking to see when you're going to mess up. Every non-Christian is looking to see when you're going to mess up and how you're going to clean it up. Now, can I ask you a question? How many of you get to clean up your own messes? Because I hate to tell you this, you might think you do, but God cleans up every one. God cleans them up. If he doesn't clean it up, it ain't cleaned up. Is that right? Okay? And that's what I want you to understand. each and every one of us is to preach repentance. It is to be part of who we are and how we live our lives and how we come across to everyone around us. And that is a reality that each and every one of the apostles realized. In fact, John the Baptist was beheaded because he told the emperor that he needed to repent, and the emperor got upset. And at the whim of his sin, had John beheaded. It may cost you everything, but in costing you everything, how much do you gain? Everything. Brothers and sisters, this is a hard lesson. This is a hard lesson. But it's a lesson that we all need to learn. It's a lesson that we all need to understand. It's a lesson that next week you're going to find out is so important that without these realities, we can literally lose our salvation. All right? Wait a minute, Pastor. You're talking about how can we lose our salvation? It ain't like losing your car keys, folks. Okay? We lose our car keys. How many of you have ever lost the remote? Yep, I lost that sucker one time. We didn't find it for 3 days. I lost it good. When I talk about losing your salvation, I'm talking about you throwing it away. I'm talking about you literally saying, I don't want this anymore. I'm not going to walk in it anymore. But that's next week. So come on back and you'll get to hear about that. And I can't wait because the folks on the internet right now are going to be chiming in when they hear this one for next week. Because how many people in our world want to talk about that kind of stuff? And that's a reality, and we will be talking about it. But you and I need to get back to where we are right now. Is our life preaching? Are we preaching? Are we speaking the word of truth? Are we speaking the word of repentance through our very beings into this world? It is my hope that each and every one of you will. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:2. Remember, if we are truly in Christ Jesus, we will follow the word that He has given unto us, and that word is the complete word of God, delivered in the Old and New Testaments, the canonical scriptures that we have in our Holy Bible. In 2 Timothy 2:2, we read a reality that I pray every one of us will hold to. Oop, that's not right. Let me check out 2 Timothy 2:2. I hate when I do that stuff. No, that's Thessalonians. I went too far. Oh, I am in 1 Timothy. Wow. No wonder. Aren't you glad that I ain't perfect? I know I am because God keeps me humble in that reality. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Why do you think I'm up here every Sunday? I'm up here every Sunday to teach you so you can go out there and forget everything I told you, right? I'm up here to instruct the church. I'm up here to encourage the church. I'm up here to challenge the church. I'm up here because God has said, speak my word to my people. Prepare my people for what is yet to come. Bring to them the word of truth that they may take it out there into their lives and apportion it unto their faith into this world. I'm not here just for you. I'm here to prepare you to go out there and live and do and be and teach the very things I am speaking to you. It doesn't end here, okay? It doesn't stay inside these four walls. Six, if you count the roof and the floor, all right? But it goes outside into the world. It goes outside into your lives, into your workplace, into your homes. It goes outside wherever you are. Because I am up here to teach you, reliable men and women. Ladies, you don't get a break on this one just because it's written in the masculine. that you would teach those around you. Teenagers, I'm talking to you. That means your friends in school and your acquaintances on the street, everyone that you come across, your boyfriends. Yes, train them up in the way that they shall go. How? By living your life in accordance with God's Word. God tells us in His Word, don't adorn yourself with gold and all this stuff. Live a good, simple life. For that is the way that the men or the women of old showed their love to the Father. Okay? It's not by outward appearance. It's from what you really are inside coming out. And that's what you and I need to be every day. That repentance of our lives coming out. Preaching it. In every way. Giving the hope that we know that through that repentance, through that true changing and the action therein, people will understand, wow, this is real to you. This is real to you. And then they see us change. Right there in front of their eyes. And it becomes real to them because now they can grab a hold of it and they can begin to understand it. And when they start to ask you questions like, well, you know, you struggle with this all the time. Yes, I do. I need Jesus every day. It opens doors of conversation. How many people out there think they have to get it perfect in order to come to Christ? Oh, well, you know, I can't do that because, you know, I got so much stuff messed up in my life. Boy, I'm telling you, if I had to wait until I had it all right, I wouldn't be up front here now. Because I'll tell you when I'm going to get it all right. When I see Him face to face. When He makes me whole and wholly Thine. Unto that day, I'm working it out in progressive sanctification. I'm working it out. You're working it out. And you're going to help those people understand by preaching repentance. Enough said. Now, are you going to go do it? Second thing we're going to look at, and this is one of the points that we need to preach, is repentance from dead works. And this is so real in the life of the church. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. We're going to the sixth chapter. Going to the sixth chapter and going to read verses 1 through 3. And this is some tough stuff here. But next week we're going to elaborate on this even a little bit more because we're going to take a little bit more of this into reality and see just where God goes with it. Because this is one of my favorite books of the Bible, by the way, as your pastor. Many of you know I really hold to Hebrews 6. That is just, I really do. But the book of Hebrews in general is a book that as a pastor I really look to this book to teach me things and hold me to the path. So from this, I'm going to teach you a reality. I want you to begin up here in verse 11, here in chapter 5. Verses 6, 1 through 3 is where we're actually going to be teaching from. But we need to grab 5:11 so this makes sense. It says, we have much to say about this. What is this? Well, it's about Jesus Christ's life here on earth and the fact that He is our great priest. But we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Okay, what's going on here? The writer of Hebrews is telling these folks that they really need to be on solid food. You really need to be on solid food. You need to be on the meat of the Word, but really right now where you are is you're still on milk because you're still confused about some of this stuff, right? How many of us now, under that understanding, are eating prime rib? How many of us, based on that understanding, are at the pablum stage? How many of us, under that true understanding of the word, are now on milk? That's a reality. Okay? So what does God say about all this? Let's look. What does He say from 6, 1 through 3? Therefore, in other words, you know, since we know this, we're still going to do something, right? Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. In other words, I'm going to give you some meat to chew on. Now, need to ask you a question before we go into the rest of it. If you give a baby chunks of meat when all he is ready to eat is milk, what's he going to do with those chunks of meat? He's going to spit it out. So do you know what mothers would do years ago before we had all the fine, wonderful things that we use today for making baby food? In fact, you know, we can buy it in jars already mushed up and all that stuff. Mamas used to put it in their mouth, chew it up, spit it back on the spoon, and feed it to baby. Ooh. I'm sure if you asked your mom, she probably did that one or two times for you. You do that. So guess what? You're going to become teachers for little ones. So I need you to chew this up so you can feed it to them. I need you to step up a level in maturity. I need you to step up to that place of parenthood and realize that there are people out there who are not going to understand. We ourselves may not fully understand it and may not understand it until we come to the full grace of God in the completion of time. But what we do understand, we are responsible to and for. And we are also responsible to continue moving forward. Hence the reality of this church transforming lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. It's being changed from where we are to where God wants us to be. Thus saith the Lord. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. In other words, these very things that I just spoke on, these very theological foundations, are the things that we've been teaching on since I've been a minister. And I'll continue teaching on because I need to constantly be training you up more and more and more. And as new people come in, they need to be trained. But then we have Bible studies and we have discipleship hour. And that is where we go on to the meat. Do you realize what I'm saying? In the congregation, as we sit here, I do give you meat, but not as much meat as I give pablum and as I give milk. Why? Because in those levels, everybody understands. Jim Pyfer used to say to me, Pastor Rich, I love your children's sermons, because if I didn't understand the children's sermon, I would never understand the adult sermon. Isn't that amazing? I think that is wisdom from the ages, because that's where all of us can go. We can all understand the simpler things, but God wants us to go on. And one of those simpler things is repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works. Yet how many people out there in Christ still do these dead works? And we really need to be taking care of that ourselves in our own lives, don't we? We need to repent of dead works. Well, in order for us to repent of dead works, I think we need to understand what dead works are. Dead works are those things that are performed by both religious and non-religious people trying to establish their own righteousness apart from God. They neither obey nor honor God, and they labor for their own favor among men. All right? One of the things, and you've all heard me say this many times before, there are a lot of people with good intentions who will never see heaven. All right? There's a bunch of places here on our planet that have the names of people splattered against the golden arches, right? You know, that's why it's called McDonald's, because that's the guy who owned it, right? Well, when you look at some of these hospitals, it's the hospital, because that's the guy who paid for it, right? Because that person made this orphanage or whatever, they get their name on a plaque. You know, this is the, and I'm going to pick on my own alma mater, okay? Lancaster Bible College. We had Eisenhower, Dorm, excuse me. Because the people who donated the money, their last name was Eisenhower, so they named it Eisenhower Dorm. They're buying that dorm, building that dorm. Is that going to get them into heaven? No. Now, the people at LBC who donated those funds, I really don't think they wanted their names on it. But there it was, all right? So we need to realize that there are things that are called dead works, places where we put our names, things that we do outside of God for our own name's sake, for our own righteousness, to build ourselves up in man's eyes. That is dead work. And those things we need to repent of. We need to turn from them, recognize them for what they are, turn from them in our spirits, and do them no more. That's the action, okay? Turn with me, if you would, because I want to look at what Paul had to say about some of this stuff. Turn to Philippians 3, 1 through 9. Philippians 3, 1 through 9. Paul loves to speak. His rhetoric is beautiful, and it truly touches us because Paul kind of gets into where we live. Do you know what I mean? When you read the books that Paul wrote, because he was speaking to Gentiles and we are Gentiles, it amazes me how I can read what he has to say, and it says, "Hey, Rich, I'm talking to you. You know, this was wrote just for you." Look what he says here in verses 1 through 9 in chapter 3. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you." In other words, what I'm doing here, what's happening right now, is what Paul was talking about. I'm reteaching this stuff because there are more people who need to know it, and you need to be reminded so you can go out there and do it again, right? Okay, there's no harm in that, right? So please hear that. That's God's word. Repetition is something that God wanted from the beginning. Go out there and tell your kids this stuff. Oh. So it's not a bad thing. "Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic, righteous, and faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Blessed be the word of the Lord." Paul here is telling us, look at all the thingies I did. Okay? It's the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer special after the abominable snowman has gone over the cliff, right? And what's the guy's name? Brings him back to Santa Claus's shop. I forget what his name is. The prospector, all right? And he brings this guy in, got a rope tied around him, and they're all scared of him, right? And he goes, looky what he can do. And he puts the star on the tree. And because he does that, we all love him and accept him. Woohoo! Looky what he can do. And that's who we are. That's who our world is. The abominable snowman. Looky what we can do. It ain't about what we can do. It's about who God is and what he has done for us and what he continues to do with us and in us. It's really about him. And that's what Paul is saying. Man, look at all these things I did. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a persecutor of the church. I was a Pharisee. I was. All those things are as rubbish unto me. Okay? All those things are as rubbish unto me. For they mean nothing. They have no weight. They have no power. They have no strength. For it is only in Christ Jesus that I find strength, power, and the ability to continue on. As we look at our lives and as we preach repentance unto the world, one of the things we need to remember, and I hope you all remember this, how many times have you folks said to me, oh, Pastor Rich, that was such a good sermon. What do I tell you every time? They're his words, not mine. I don't have anything to give you. If it comes from Rich Dubs, it's nothing. If it comes from the Word of God, it's everything to me. I think those are words of a song, aren't they, Miss Sally? He is everything to me. And from that place we need to come. A place from ourselves and unto God. Repenting from dead works and remembering that our world puts so much stock in dead works. But when they get before God in heaven, remember what the Scripture says. There will be those who will say to Him upon that day, Lord, Lord, look what I did in Your name. And He will say to them, verily, I knew you not. Because it wasn't about him, it was all about them. Today, as we go yet one more week into the season of Lent, I pray that you will look back on your lives and then look forward unto where you want it to be and begin to realize that you are a priest in the order of Melchizedek. You are preachers of the Word with your very being out there in your everyday by your actions, and that you will help others to understand. And you know, this is one of the tough things, isn't it? How much of our world is driven by dead works? Oh man, did you see that new car I got? We just bought a condo down there, and it just so amazes me. Because those aren't the things to brag on. Those are gifts from God, and they can be good gifts, amen? But did you do it? Or did God give it to you? There's the difference. And it's helping people to understand the gifts that we're given are not the things we glory in, amen? With that, would you pray with me this day that God of grace would help us walk in repentance? For as we bring it in word and deed in our lives, may others know and find the release from the dead works of this world and unto the eternal works of God that He has prepared for us. Gracious Lord, we thank You so much for the day that You have given us, and we thank You for this word. that you give us the hope of the gospel of glory in Jesus Christ your Son, who set before us the path of righteousness in his own namesake, as he gave us the way, the truth, and the life, himself in the fullness thereof, your image in holy man and holy God. Father, we thank you for this day, and we pray that you will strengthen us to take this message out of here into our world and make it a reality in our lives, that it may too enlighten this world and illuminate the darkness, chasing it away, consuming it in other lives, and bringing the hope of the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And all God's children said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.